This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
To East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show, this is The Drive.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:02. On your Thursday afternoon, we welcome you live from your White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Oh, man. Jam-packed, loaded, and ready to go this afternoon. Check out this guest list. Christopher Gabriel, KFJ Fresno, coming up here in just a matter of minutes. Edgar Thompson covers Florida for the Orlando Sentinel. He will join in hour number two and then in hour number three. Tony Vitello, head baseball coach of your University of Tennessee Volunteers. How does that strike you, Bear?
I'm pretty fired up. First day back, got Tony Vitello, Christopher Gabriel.
Your first day back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.
Yeah, I'm not in the Bears den anymore.
I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of got used to have like all the space over here. Now I got Miller like
but
3 feet away from me.
As I said, I'm back and I'm going to put my house in order. First things first, I forgot how noisy the midday guys are, how rambunctious after a show those guys are.
Yeah, you'll get used to it. You'll get used to it.
Yeah.
They'll pipe down eventually. Good stuff. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, we got a great show lined up.
Big show lined up. Josh Heupel meeting with the media, typically buttoned down today, not offering anything on the quarterback thing. He did say that Joe Milton's been practicing a little bit this week, and he did say that Cooper Mays has been practicing and that he expects him to play this week as well. So maybe a big development there.
I've heard both of Mays' boys should be good to go Saturday.
But dude, I wonder about Cooper, man. I do want, because those high ankle sprains, like we've seen offensive linemen miss well over a month. Sometimes
this isn't his first one either, by a long shot.
Well, I remember when Darnell Wright's freshman year, he sprained his ankle like halfway through the season, and he said he did not recover until well after the season, like January, February the next year.
Yeah.
So if it's me. Look, I know this is a big game. It's Florida, all that stuff. I think the worst-case scenario, the worst thing that could possibly happen would be for him to go out there and re-aggravate the injury to where he can't play next week. To me, Missouri and South Carolina are more important than Florida. Let me say that again. Missouri and South Carolina are more important games than Florida. They're not bigger games. I get that. I'm not an idiot. But as I've been telling you, like those are more important games for the mission that Josh Heupel is on right now, which is big picture, restore Tennessee football to national prominence. We can win those games. So if it's me, like I would give serious consideration. And again,
to sitting Cooper out?
Yeah. I don't know all the.
What percentage would he have to be before you'd feel comfortable?
I would just have to be
like 90%.
I would have to be as sure as I possibly can be that he's not going to tweak it again and miss upcoming games.
I mean, hell, anytime any of those guys walk out there on any given play, they can get rolled up.
Yeah, but you're more susceptible once when you're coming back from a sprain.
Any tweak's going to be a lot worse.
So, I don't know. I mean, obviously if he's a good player, if he's healthy-ish, we're better off with him in the game. So I wonder if he'll play. I wonder what they're going to do with Milton, if they're going to play two quarterbacks, if they're just going to go with Milton. A lot of rumors out there. I don't think we'll know. I don't think we'll know until pregame warmups, when you usually get a pretty good idea. And if Milton's taking the first snaps, that's a good indication that he'll be the starter Saturday night. But other than that, I mean, not a ton of news. Not a ton of news coming out of the ball game, out of practice today on the ball game. So we will see what happens. As tomorrow, we will be broadcasting live from the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. This is their other location. So if you came to our last remote, it was the Axe House in Sevierville. A little bit deeper in, Pigeon Forge is where we're going to be tomorrow. Both the Drive and Talk Sports going to be broadcasting live from noon to 6, a special double shot to get you ready for a huge college football weekend. Can't wait, man. Can't wait. Great food up there. The axe throwing, the cold beer. Oh, man, the TVs, they've got it all for you at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. So I know we got a lot of listeners up there in Sevier County. Would love to see you tomorrow. We're going to be there 6 hours. You got no excuse. We know you can knock off work for an hour or so and come by and hang out with your friends over at Fan Run Radio. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. So, yeah, that's the deal. Florida game, the ticket thing. I don't know how big a deal that
people
is.
People are upset about it, I think.
Some people are. I've heard other people who are perfectly fine with it.
You know what you can tell by who's mad about it?
How rich they are?
Yeah, who's had the hell a deal for how long?
Yeah, exactly. No, I've heard from different people. So far, I haven't heard from anybody that's like, yeah, man, I'm just getting screwed. I'm just getting screwed on this deal. I wish I'm waiting for this one guy. He sent me the screenshots of his. I guess they've got some interface online where with the Tennessee Fund or whatever, where you can talk with the guy. It's basically a chat, like an internet chat. And they took the screenshots of the chat and sent it to me, which was really a really enlightening interaction. And I'm waiting for him to respond. I asked him if I can read these on the air. I'll leave the name out if he wants to. But basically, like, the donation for most of these seats is not huge. Now, where it's going to be big is down there on that West Club that they're constructing down on the West sideline. I would imagine the donation is going to be pretty hefty to get in there.
So when you're doing when you're doing these chats, is it like, are you actually talking to a human being, or did it seem like just scripted responses?
Yeah, you're talking to a person.
Okay.
On the other end there.
Why is that sometimes like some kind of AI?
Sometimes
blowing
it is.
My damn mind, really.
Well, when you
didn't know that.
I mean, it's pretty easy to tell. Like when you, have you ever messaged a company on Facebook and you get that instant response and it's just some generic? We will, you know.
Yeah,
what is your...
yeah. I mean, I realize that, but I'm talking like a help chat, like with a little thing, the box that pops up.
I don't think so. I think like when you call your cable company or whatever, I think they're generally. You're talking to him. But anyway, they had one of those. And
what was the back and forth like?
Well, I can't. I don't want to tell you if I don't want to, you know, piss this guy off because I guess it was a confidential conversation. So I'm waiting for permission. I'm waiting to be released there.
I mean, you could show me at halftime.
Josh's journal. Stop putting words in my mouth.
What's he doing?
He says, now at Russell is basically saying Tennessee shouldn't try to beat Florida by playing its best players. He thinks we need to save them for Missouri and South Carolina. Wave the white flag, Dubsy. I'm not saying you shouldn't play your best players. I'm saying you shouldn't play any player that you might need to win more important games. That's a subtle distinction. It's not a bigger game. Florida's a bigger game than Missouri, South Carolina.
Right.
I'm not an idiot. We all know that. I'm just saying. There's a reason you're 20-point underdog.
Yeah, I mean, if this was back in the day when this was a game of consequence, we had a lot riding on it. And the training staff and the young man felt like he was good to go and that he gave us a better shot at winning at 80 or 85% than who his replacement is, then you play him.
Mm.
But this ain't the old days. This isn't really a game of consequence for us. I mean, it is. And people are just missing. I understood it completely is. What you're saying, and as much as it sucks to admit it, you're right.
Here's the good thing about the game. You want a little shot of optimism?
A little hope in?
It's a big game if you win it. I'm telling you, you go in this with the nothing to lose attitude. If you get blowed out, you get blowed out. It's the billionth time you've gotten blowed out by Florida. You're a 20-point underdog. Nobody's expecting anything. It's not like anybody's going to hot take this like, wow, Josh Heupel can't get it done. Did Tennessee make another bad hot? Like, nobody with half a brain is going to be saying that. The only way this game makes any sort of ripple on the national landscape is if you win.
It wouldn't just be a ripple.
Let's take a quick timeout. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, coming up next on the show. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Stay with us. Hurricane Gabriel coming up. Welcome back. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, AJ, cruising along with you. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Let's head to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Get things started off with Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Let me just tell you about my week and the standing that you, Bear, the gang, the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville has in my book. So I host Fresno's Morning News 6 to 9, Monday through Friday, then my program on weekends. But 3 days this week, we also call those Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I had to fill in and guest host because one of the hosts wasn't here, so I did 9 to 11. So my first 3 days this week, I did 15 hours on the air.
Oh.
I got the note from you. Hey, you know what? You know how it is. You love what you do. You do it. But we become sleep starved. And so I'm looking to, on Thursday, like, okay, I'm going to be done, and I'm going to get out of here. And then I get the text saying, can you jump on? I'm going to tell you right now, there isn't another show in America that I'm making time for, but you guys, when you need me, I'll be, as Michael Jackson once said in the Jacksons, I'll be there.
Oh, great Mariah Carey cover, too, as I recall from MTV Unplugged back in the day. Christopher Gabriel cruising with us here on the drive this afternoon. Christopher, we had to get you on this week. I mean, it's the Florida game. Traditionally, this has been the game that Tennessee football measures itself on, whether or not a season was a success. Can you beat Florida? I don't know, Chris, what are your thoughts on this year's game? There's a reason Tennessee goes in a 20-point underdog. Hope is not in abundant supply right now in East Tennessee.
No, it really isn't. And to start this, you talk about the importance of this game on the schedule every year. You know what jumps out at me? You and I and Bear, we could talk about these games, the Florida-Tennessee games, for an hour. I always think back into the game that I came into Knoxville for, the downpour. It was, it was 35-0 in the first 20 minutes of game time with Danny Werfel, what have you. But what always jumps out at me these games is it seems as though just about every time Florida has won these games, and it's been too many, somebody that nobody has ever heard of becomes a household name in that game, whether it's a defensive end, it's a defensive back, it's a corner, it's a running back that's coming in for somebody who's injured. And I'm wondering what year, and I've been saying this for too many years, guys, what year does this happen where a Tennessee player that nobody has heard of comes in and makes a name for himself? So to this game, you look at, I'm not a big stats guy because I think a lot of times the eye test is as valuable as anything else. And you look at the numbers here, and if you just break down the numbers, it's pretty obvious what Florida's going to want to do. They're going to want to run the ball. I mean, they're running the ball exceptionally well. They have an outstanding offensive line. And they're looking at Tennessee's defensive backs. And, I mean, for my money, and you guys would have to correct me if I'm missing this, but it seems like receivers – including Bowling Green, have been getting behind Tennessee's back line on a pretty regular basis. So the 20-point deal, you know what? Fresno State was a 21-point underdog going into Oregon, and Fresno State should have won that game. They should have won that game. So I don't really give a hoot about the line. I think Tennessee's going to have to go in there, and they're going to have to play a perfect game. I'm not breaking news with that, but if it's Hooker or if it's Milton, whoever gets the start, has got to hit deep balls. Because Florida, if they've shown anything on defense, is that they've not been great. I don't think that Florida defensively has been great really in any facet. I mean, they're in the bottom third of the SEC right now. They've certainly given up some. I mean, here I am saying I'm not big on stats, but they've given up some passing yards, not a lot, but maybe a little bit more than they normally give up. And if the Vols can open up the passing game a little bit and get some success, then they're going to be able to run the ball a little bit better. And I know it normally goes the other way around, but I just don't see the Vols being able to run the ball with any consistency unless they get some successful passing going. And how many weeks are we going to hear this? They've got to start, lining guys up and hitting guys down the field. And I'll say this. Josh Heupel can draw plays as well as anybody. And by the way, Adam Rittenberg is a guest of mine on Saturday, and one of the teams that we're going to be talking about is Tennessee. Josh Heupel and his staff can draw up the plays, but look, these guys got to execute. These guys have to execute. And Milton has had his shots, and Hooker has had his shots. Hooker's been maybe a modicum of more success, but that's what we got to see. I mean, I think it really comes. This game's going to come down to Tennessee's offense because we know what Florida's going to do, and Florida's going to be able to score at least 30 points on the Vols, if not more. But if the Vols can score on them, and I believe that the Vols, if they can open up downfield, I believe the Vols can score, then maybe we have ourselves a game, fellas.
Well, you might not be a big stat guy. Who am I kidding? I'm not a big stat guy either, Chris. But I did find this. This was interesting. SEC StatCat, which is a great follow on Twitter. The SEC passers that suffer from the highest drop rate entering week four, minimum 25 attempts. So these are the quarterbacks who have been plagued by the most drops. Joe Milton, number one in the conference by a pretty big margin, 14.3%. So, yeah, he's overthrowing guys. Yeah, I understand he throws it really hard. Chris, this is the SEC, brother. It's D1 college football, to quote Chris Hawkins at Colorado back in the day. You got to catch it. If he puts it on you, if he gets it to where you can put your hands on the ball, you have to reel that thing in.
Oh, heck yeah. How many teams, Tennessee teams, have we watched over the years where it seems like two things have jumped out? One, we get the devastating injury in the first quarter against a Florida or an Alabama. It's usually against Florida. And two, whoever is back there at quarterback is finding guys, and guys are dropping the damn ball. It's like, why do Florida receivers and Bama receivers, and for that matter, Fresno State receivers, they seem just to have an endless array of ability to catch the ball no matter where it's thrown, and Vols receivers don't? That's a great stat right there. And yeah, it's the SEC. This is big boy football. This isn't the MAC. Yeah, this is catch the ball.
You have one job. It's literally in your name. Wide receiver, not dropper. You got to catch the ball. Christopher Gabriel with us, KFJ Fresno, this afternoon. All right, Christopher, here's my hope for this week is, and I know people say, oh, we shouldn't accept moral victories and whatever. I just hope that it's a ball game in the second half. At some point in third quarter, and if you can get it in the fourth quarter, great. I want to see a little flop sweat on Dan Mullen. I want to see that Gators sideline at some point in the second half, like a little bit rustled, a little bit rattled. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? We're in a ball game. That's if that happens, Christopher, I will be more or less content when we do a super late voluntary reaction Saturday evening.
I am right there with you, brother. I am right there with you because you and I both know the way they play. They played a great game against Alabama. Maybe Alabama didn't play their best game, but it's still Alabama. I mean, it's still Bama, and they played exceptionally well. I don't care what Mullen and his coaches are telling his players this week. Those guys are just they're not even looking at Tennessee. It's like, yeah, how many, they've won. The Vols haven't won since what, 2016, somewhere around there. They're not looking at Tennessee as anything more than a grain of sand on the Atlantic coast of a Florida beach. That's all they're looking at. And you're right. If this game is within a touchdown, if this game is a game like the Georgia game a couple of years ago was at halftime, or maybe it was last year, And Tennessee's got, I mean, Florida's got a little flop foot going. They're a little concerned. And maybe Tennessee gets a lead. Maybe that is going to work in a way that Alabama didn't, where they're going to think, well, you know what? We expected to maybe be struggling with Alabama. We expected to be going uphill against Alabama. But this Tennessee, man, this Tennessee, they've gone through 31 coaches in 9 years. How that's possible, I don't know, but they did. And if the Vols can give them reasons to think, to doubt themselves, to maybe not be as crisp as they normally would play, maybe the Vols walk out of there with a loss, but it's not going to be a moral victory, but it's going to be a reminder to everybody on that team in that locker room and to everybody who follows the Vols that maybe the program's coming. Now, if they lose 62-7, then it's a very different voluntary reaction. Saturday night.
Yeah, that will not be fun. Christopher, you and I were texting earlier this week about day games versus night games, and it'll be a night game this weekend, obviously. The previous two games at Neyland Stadium started at noon. The Missouri game is slated to start at noon next week. And this is as TV takes more and more control of this sport, It's more and more difficult for teams that are rebuilding because you need those night games, those marquee matchups to sell yourself and sell your program, and it's easier to sell tickets to for athletics departments. But when you're where Tennessee is and you haven't been relevant nationally for a while, you're not going to get those marquee games. And you get into this weird chicken or egg debate about how do you get your program back into these evening primetime matchups. What are your thoughts on that, how that affects games, the atmosphere in the stadium, and ultimately the bottom line of athletic department budgets?
Well, you bring up a great point, and it really becomes a six of one, half dozen of the other. Yeah, as you said, where or even a catch 22, where you need to get those primetime games, but to get a primetime game, an evening game, you got to be doing something worthy. I hate day games. I hate them. LSU and Florida, they figured out ages ago whether they were, Florida's had their down years, not many, but they've had them. LSU had more down years than maybe they remember right now. But you get those night crowds in there, and I don't care if it's East Carolina walking in there or Tennessee Tech, fans are just a little bit more jacked up for a lot of reasons. And I think that there's just an anticipation. You're building your excitement all day long for the game that night. I remember so many nights of being in Neyland Stadium and being in there with, 100, whether it was 102, 105,000 people, and they were in there. We were in there a half an hour ahead. Everybody was there waiting for the pregame show. You can't top those games. The noon games, they become like, right, they're sort of a second-tier game. It's the Purdue-Indiana game in the Big Ten. It's an NC State, Buffalo game. Coast. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. And I do think that if Tennessee is going to get to another level, meaning to get back to more night games and being able to have TV look at them for that 7 o'clock East Coast game and what have you, you know what they need to do? They need to win a game like this. They need to go out and win a game like this. And I know it's a tall order, but until you do something that makes the folks in Bristol or in New York or in Los Angeles take note and say, hold on a second. Wait a minute. We got something going on here. Much like I keep bringing up Fresno State because a whole bunch of different things have happened since they beat UCLA. When Tennessee, and I'm going to say when they win a game like this, then I think you're going to start seeing more later times. But until then, yeah, they're happy to get the Vols on and what have you, but you got the upper deck. A lot of the upper deck is empty, and it's not really exciting, and it's loud, but it's not as loud as all of us know it could be. The Florida game can go a long way to solving at least some of those problems, Russ.
Talking to Christopher Gabriel of KMJ Fresno. Christopher, you keep harping on Fresno State. I remember watching the end of their game against Oregon, and then you told me, they should have won that game. They're really good. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Christopher's smoking out there, Fresno State. And then I finally sit down. You've got me all fired up. You're going to the Rose Bowl to see them play UCLA. The Bruins, everybody talk about them being back. They've beaten LSU already this year. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch Christopher's Bulldogs take on UCLA and see what they're all about. That Jake Haener kid can flat out play, man. And they get him a transfer from Washington. You know, that gives me some hope, Christopher, as a Tennessee fan, is, you know, hey, even if Heupel can't get it going with Milton or Hooker, neither of these guys can play at the level he wants, maybe there's a guy out there, not Haener specifically, but maybe there's another guy of his ilk waiting to be discovered out there by a coach like Josh Heupel in the future.
I'm really glad that you had mentioned to me, just to pull the curtain, that you wanted to talk about this, because I know that most of your audience couldn't give a hoot about Fresno State, but they should, and I'm going to tell you why, and you just alluded to it. I knew that you were a little skeptical when I said they should have beaten Oregon. But the fact is, they should have beaten Oregon, and everybody knows it. When they got down to UCLA, UCLA was ranked 13th. UCLA defensively is pretty good. They're not great, but they're 4- and 5-star players. Those are Pac-12 players. And poor little Fresno State, just the Mountain West team, came in there and kicked their behinds up and down the field. They had nearly 600 yards of offense. Jake Haener was 39 for 53, 455 yards of offense. His hip, he could barely walk, and he was finding guys all over the field. In fact, if a couple of guys wouldn't have dropped balls, they would have beaten them worse. If they wouldn't have had back-to-back fumbles on back-to-back possessions, the game wouldn't have been close. UCLA's starting quarterback came out and said, "We gave them the game." Get the hell out of here. You didn't give them anything. Fresno State took them to them. To the players, Jake Haener was a 4-star recruit that he was up in Washington. And then when Eason transferred from Georgia out there, Eason was basically given the job. Not saying that Eason wasn't a good player, but he went to the top of the depth chart just like that. And so where you had a lot of Washington fans saying, "Oh, poor little Jake Haener, crying, he's not getting playing time, so now he's going to go home to the Central Valley." But that wasn't it. That wasn't it at all. Jake Haener is a tough you-know-what. He's 6'1". He looks like a ballet dancer, and he will kick your behind out on that field. What stands out about him, he's got a cannon for an arm. He can make every throw. He can thread the needle. He can use his legs, and he gets up, Russ. Every time he gets smacked down, he gets up. And then Ty Jones, the 6'4", is as athletic a receiver as you're going to find in the Mountain West. He was his teammate at Washington. He didn't like what was going on up there. And Jake Haener said, "My man, why don't you come down to Fresno? We got some stuff going on down here." You know, Jalen Cropper, the 4-star wide receiver who everybody wanted. Bama wanted him, Tennessee, Michigan. He was Kendall Milton's teammate here in town. So, you know, you can see what kind of a high school team they had. Milton now, obviously, at Georgia. But bottom line is, what you just said is absolutely accurate. If Josh Heupel doesn't feel that he has the guys to run his system, there are going to be guys who are frustrated that they're not getting the playing time, and they're going to jump in the transfer portal, and they're going to try to find their way to a place that's a big-time program, that they can get big-time minutes. They've done that here with Jake Haener. Last year, his first game against Hawaii, he was really so-so, very much like Joe Milton, and people were all over him, and then he lit up the league the last 5 games. And he now, Jake Haener, leads the nation in yards, total yards. He can absolutely play. I really believe that Josh Heupel might do the same thing, because it's a door that's open now. The restrictions and the approvals and the time that you have to wait if you're a graduate student, those are out the window. So I think it's possible, Russ.
Christopher, fantastic chatting with you, sir. I was listening to your program earlier this week, streaming. You're in there, man. You're everywhere. You're going to traffic. You're going to weather. You're taking President Biden's speech live from the UN. You're talking to guests. You got the sports guy coming in, man. You're making it happen out there.
It is. It's a show that has, as we call in the business, a lot of elements, and we have six news flows per hour. And as you said, news, traffic, weather, sports, a lot of commentary after every news flow. Myself and our news anchor, Matt Otstadt, we go back and forth a lot. We get a lot of entertainment in there. And I squeeze the vowels in there when I can. But, yeah, it moves. I mean, it moves really fast. And then, you know, we finish the week up on Saturdays with, as far as I'm concerned, the most listenable program on KMJ, and that would be my program on Saturday. So, but, yeah, you know, what am I looking forward to? Coming on your show. Coming on the drive, baby.
Oh, man, we love it. Christopher Gabriel, have yourself a great weekend. Follow him on Twitter, at CG Program. Christopher Gabriel, KFJ Fresno, thanks so much.
Anytime you need me, boys, let's get a win, huh? Let's get a win down in Florida.
Hey, I'll have what he's having. Thanks, Chris. Christopher Gabriel making his presence felt. He has left the building. He appears as all fan-run guests do via the G3 Help Me hotline. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call 865-401-8214. Again, that's G3HelpMe.com. The drive continues. Back with more after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Woo!
He brings it.
That's the way to start your Thursday afternoon off. Bear, what did you learn?
He really likes Fresno State. He was a big believer in them. I wasn't. I was surprised you didn't throw me under the bus on that one. And I was making fun of you guys for thinking Fresno State was going to beat UCLA.
You clearly didn't listen. I told him. I thought he was – I wasn't buying it either, and they could play, man.
Yeah,
it's a good team. We got to find ourselves a Jake Haener.
And then the other thing that jumped out to me is something that I've said, and in the past, and I think I was getting the wrong game, but he's exactly right about to really get this thing kickstarted. We're gonna have to beat somebody we have no business beating.
Yeah, man.
And I'll tell you who it was. I've always said it was a Sugar Bowl that year, but I've rethought that. I think it was that Auburn game to start the year. Nobody expected us to be able to beat the mighty Auburn Tigers. They're rolling in here with Bo Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winner. They had us beat.
Well, we're not having one of those seasons this year. But what we can have is 2013 Butch Jones or 2018 Jeremy Pruitt when you have that first year and you're still laying the foundation and all that stuff, but Butch was able to pick off a very talented South Carolina team. Somehow was able.
I think that's a better analogy than the Auburn game. That was a terrible Auburn team that year.
And they were pretty good. Still, you go down to Jordan-Hare, they were pretty good. One of those losses was to a Tennessee team that had no business beating them. So, I'll give him credit for that. I don't like giving Jeremy Pruitt credit for, well, pretty much anything.
Cornbread.
But can Josh Heupel figure out to win one of those games? I mean, this weekend would be great. It would be great to knock off Alabama or Georgia. Realistically, Ole Miss would be huge if you're able to knock them. I mean, that would be a
if they continue playing the way they're playing now, that will be a monumental task.
In your black uniforms with your black helmet.
To be able to outscore them. Because that's what you're going to have to do.
Or winning at Kentucky. I mean, I know that's not – traditionally, but they're just a better program than we are right now, man. You can't deny that. They're just – and that's not necessarily saying as much about them as it is about Tennessee, but Kentucky is better than Tennessee right now. Exhibit A – they came in here and walked the dog or walked the cat, as the case may be, on Tennessee last year. Jake Miller, what did you learn?
Well, I did not realize that Jake Haener was a transfer from Washington. And, you know, like he said, and like Bear said, and you said, we've got to beat somebody that we're not supposed to beat this year. Yeah, like you said, Ole Miss would be probably the most realistic option. But, you know, you say Kentucky's the better football team. Yes, and I think it's because they've got more stability. More so than anybody else in the East, because I think, what is Mark Stoops, the second longest tenured coach in the SEC right now?
Nope.
So, I mean, he knows who he is. He knows what he's trying to accomplish. And
I've always said they're an advantage there because the expectations are so much lower at Kentucky than they are at Tennessee. And you go back and look at it, Stoops and Butch came into the league the same year in 2013. And his record was not any better than Butch's. As a matter of fact, Butch's was better until 2017, and he was beating Mark Stoops. But it's Kentucky. right? And so they're thrilled if they win eight games and go to a bowl, whereas we won eight games twice under Butch, and it was like, okay, well, what are you going to do next? And they give him that time. They give him that leeway. And
we turned up the heat on him.
There is something to be said, though, for – I mean, there might be a lesson to be learned in there about
– what?
About being more patient and giving your coach more time. And
I don't know.
Change isn't always
better. I don't know about that.
Well,
Butch had playoff talent in 15 and 16.
He did.
That was a playoff team in 15.
I'm not necessarily saying we should have given Butch more time.
He choked and gagged it all away.
I just say more time in general, perhaps we shouldn't be so quick to judge. But I know it's hard. We keep
fourth and goal at the one.
Idiots.
You got Alvin Kamara and Jalen Hurd lined up at running back, and you're going
to
do
folks,
that.
Folks, the NFL is back. FanDuel Sportsbook wants to help you get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. And tonight is a great opportunity to give it a try. You got Thursday night football. All you got to do is put down a same game parlay with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So you've got Carolina and Houston tonight. We can just look at it. The money line, I've said all week, obviously like Carolina to win this game. You can go the win margin up there. Panthers by 1 to 13 points at plus 140. I like that one. And then we'll go Christian McCaffrey, rushing yards over under 84.5. I feel like he's going to rush for 85 yards tonight easily. Boom, there you have it. Your three legs. You don't have to do that, but that would be my suggestion. You do whatever you want. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app free on your smartphone or your tablet. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, so lock yours in today on FanDuel and get up to 10 bucks back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel, also be sure to claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win Monday Night Football, Cowboys, Eagles this week. Just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1. And if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on both mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Looking ahead, we're going to continue to unpack Tennessee, Florida this weekend as the Vols head down to the swamp to take on the Gators. The path to victory. Is it there? Is it realistic? What do you think? We want to talk about it with you. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. 546-8200. We pause for the cause. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in here, 546-8200. You want to get on the Fan Run experience this afternoon. Of course, tomorrow we'll be live at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Looking forward to might have to stop by, do a little go-karts, maybe some hit up a water slide or something on the way back.
I feel like it'd be a little too crisp right now to hit the water slide.
A little chilly out, man. Usually my morning routine, I set the AC low at night.
Right.
Set it, which for me is like 72 degrees. But then I get up.
Go outside and have your coffee.
Well, no, I get up and the first thing I do in the morning is put it back up around 75, 76 degrees.
Right.
And I do that today and I look and it's actually 70, where I'd set it at 72. I was like, oh, it's that time, huh? We're doing this thing now. Okay.
So I usually just go sit outside to warm up in the mornings. Didn't work this morning.
Yeah, it's chilly out. You got
it's like 54.
Little fall chill in the air. So, was reading a thing earlier today about some of these SEC coaches. I guess on the teleconference, they were asking all the coaches about the transfer portal.
Right.
Interesting perspective from Nick Saban and then from Lane Kiffin here. Here's what Saban says about the transfer portal. Quote, I think what's going to happen, as you've seen in a lot of leagues, the good players go to a good team and the bad players leave good teams because they're not playing, Saban said. Is that going to make the rich get richer? I don't know. You can decide that.
Yeah, it's my greatest fear. He had a rare moment of candidness back several months ago whenever they said that they were going to be immediately eligible, or when they were talking to him about the transfer portal and all, he's like, just going to help us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said this many times before. I don't care. I set Alabama off to the side. What they're doing is – that's fine. Like, I don't even hate anymore, man, because everything that people say, oh, they cheat, but, you know, it's like, okay, well, so do we. We just did it badly, and – all the stuff that people have accused them of is going to be legal now soon. So who cares? I'm more interested in can it help Tennessee and just focusing on Tennessee. And the answer is clearly yes, because we are going to be able to sign so many more players this year if they get rid of that 25 cap. And then the transfer portal is obviously a big part of that. Here's what Kiffin said. He said, quote, now they – talk about Alabama, go cherry-pick players for any holes they may have, like an Ohio State receiver or a Tennessee linebacker toe-to-toe. So now it's like not only do they get the best draft picks, but they get into free agency and take players. So it really is going to set up one of the most talented teams ever, which is what we're getting ready to play.
He's exactly right.
But I don't know. Is he?
Yes.
Are they better than right now than they were last year?
I don't know. I think it's still too early in the season to tell. I know if that kid, if their original middle linebacker hadn't gotten hurt in fall camp, Toto would be spelling him right now. He wouldn't be starting. Which he is. He's good enough. He's starting at Alabama, but he didn't exactly cover him himself in glory last weekend.
I like how you're threading this needle of – no, yes, Alabama is still really good, but no, Toto still sucks.
I didn't say he sucked. I said he didn't cover himself in glory against Florida.
It's like I said, I don't worry about what Alabama's doing. I mean, how can you make the best team in college football any better? From my perspective, I don't know that they're as good now as they were the team with – Julio Jones and Mark Ingram and all those guys back in the day.
I mean, at this point, talk about splitting hairs.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, we're worried about them getting better. Why? How much better could they possibly
get? Because like Lane Kiffin said, they took a receiver from Ohio State, they're cherry picking. Yeah, any holes they got, they're cherry picking.
But why is that receiver leaving Ohio State? And for the Tennessee thing, it's like, yeah, you don't want to lose – you don't want to have them coming and cherry-picking your best players, but this is pretty extenuating circumstances with Toto, right? Ohio State's not going through a coaching change. It's not like that kid was promised something there that he's no longer getting, and now he thinks he can get those original promises at Alabama. Like, we really shot ourselves. Like, I don't know. I mean, would Toto like, have well, even like, come
what kind
here?
Of original promises are we talking about?
Whatever Toto was promised by Niedermeyer to get. I mean, do I have to spell it out for you?
McDonald's?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's
you have to spell it out for me. It's classic.
I mean, why do you think he came here? Why do you think he left? You think he really came here because of Jeremy Pruitt's winning personality? You think he really left because he didn't think that he would fit into Tim Banks' defense? I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he just really likes that Alabama system. He's just like, I can't not play in that Bama system. That's what God put me on earth to do, man. I got to be a middle linebacker in that Nick Saban 3-4 defense.
Good point. All right. I understand what you're saying now.
Well, I mean, my point is it's going to be really interesting to see if Tennessee continues to recruit at their current pace, which is, some would say, underwhelming. I would say to be expected when you consider everything that's going on around the periphery of the program with the NCAA investigation and all that stuff. If they continue to do that, can they utilize the transfer market and go out there and do kind of what they did this year, which is go out there and find a
Javonte
Payton,
holes ourselves, yeah.
A Jawan Mitchell, a Tyon Evans. I guess Evans was a JUCO. But I mean, what do we end up with, like 11 guys?
Yeah, Joe Milton.
Out of the transfer portal? Yeah. We go find another Joe Milton if our Joe Milton doesn't work out. Go find another one of those.
Yeah, hopefully he will, because he's got two more years of eligibility.
Coming up, hour number two of the show, Jake will be here with your top four at four. And we will get to your phone calls as well. Edgar Thompson of the Orlando Sentinel set to join the festivities. We'll get his thoughts on the Gators and what their mindset is. Will there be a post-Alabama letdown for Florida? They take on Tennessee. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.